So we're looking at the year of 2018 up until now. And of course, it has been the year of the move. And 2018 started with a construction project. We spent nearly £3 million on this building. It's hard to believe, isn't it? But we completely refurbished it and converted it into a community centre. And the construction project actually went extremely well. Went according to plan and pretty much according to time. We did have inevitable delays, but they were more of a legal nature rather than the construction project. This is a picture of where we are here, just out here, halfway through the construction project. So you can see the transformation that has happened. And then the move came. The move came in August. And in fact, we had two moves. So we moved the office early August, and then we moved all the ministries towards the end of August. And by the end of August, the building down in Holden Road was completely empty. And it was a gargantuan task moving, involving many, many people. And I do want to say a huge thank you to everybody who's involved there. Shreya, she's up there, and other staff members, and lots of other people who took days off work and came in and packed boxes and helped out. And really, it went like clockwork. It was extraordinarily well organized. And we got to September, and we still had a final Sunday, and we had nothing in the building. And so we worshipped on the 2nd of September in an empty building. And something really extraordinary happened, because in all the empty space, people started to dance all over the place, waving flags and everything. And it was absolutely electrifying. And it made me wonder, why on earth do we ever bother with chairs? You know, I mean, it was just it was a wonderful moment where God's Holy Spirit visited us. Then the following Sunday, Sunday the 9th of September, we gathered outside the old church, which we no longer had possession of, and we, 360 of us, processed from the old church with much jubilation, waving flags, a wonderful parade up to the new church along the high road. And when we got there, we were joined by another 200 people who were waiting for us up here. And the place was absolutely heaving. This is us at that first service on the 9th of September. It was a truly memorable occasion. The next but one Sunday, the bishop came along to license the service, and it was very theatrical. He was in his full robes, and he came to the door, and he took his bishop's staff, and he went to knock against the doors, the outer doors of the church, and of course they just slid open. So it was a quite hilarious moment, but it was a wonderful time. Not everything in the last year has been quite as joyful as all these momentous events that we had over the move, because a few weeks later, we got the devastating news that Sam Moody, known to many people here, had collapsed and died in his late 20s. And I don't usually reference individual pastoral situations in my annual report, but this one is so overwhelmingly shattering that I thought it was appropriate. You know, it's been a big part of our year, and of course we continue to pray for Emily, his widow, and for the family. The day after Sam's memorial service was the 100th anniversary of the armistice, so of the end of the First World War. And we did an unveiling of the new mural by Joy. Where's Joy? She's somewhere around. Yeah. Joy, I showed the mural to Mike Freer, the local MP here, on Friday, and he was completely wowed by it. So I've sent him a photograph of it. And we unveiled it, and then we had the last post played on the trumpet. It was a very poignant moment back in November the 11th. Then 2019 started with the official opening. Always a bit strange to have an official opening several months after we'd moved in. But of course, that's when we invited the outside world to come and join us. And we wanted to feel that we knew roughly how things worked before we got the great and the good to come and be here. And the great and the good did turn out. We had Bishop Sarah Mullally leading the service, and we had the other local MP and the Mayor of Barnet and the Deputy Lord Lieutenant representing the Queen. So that was another great party, really. And during that, we unveiled the Barnabas window, which is just at the back there now, which we brought from our old church building. Then in February, we had another move that you may not have clocked, and that was Oakley Community Church had outgrown their previous premises and moved their Sunday services into a local school, All Saints School in Whetstone. And their first service was on February the 10th, just a month ago. And here they are. At the first service is practically full already, and so that was their first service, so I'm not quite sure what they're going to do. But what an amazing, wonderful, fruitful thing that one of our church plants has grown to such an extent that they could no longer fit people in their previous premises. They've kept their previous premises, which they're using on a Sunday for youth work and during the week for other activities. Now I want to update you on people moves through the year. And while we're on Oakley Community Church, I will mention Annabel Copeland. So Annabel has come as Associate Minister for Oakley Community Church, serving with Mike Pavlou. And Annabel is ordained, so she actually hailed from here, from St. Barnabas, and we sent her out to train for ordination quite a long time ago, and she went on to be a vicar in various churches, so she's got huge experience, and she is now going to be serving at Oakley with special responsibility for overseeing their youth and kids work. Chris Alexander was ordained a priest last summer. So in the Church of England, one's ordained twice. So you start off being ordained a deacon, which is like a servant, somebody who is just learning, just in the very first throes of ordained ministry. And then after a while, you're ordained a priest. And now Chris has attained to that level. Then Peter Landry, our youth pastor, will be upstairs at this moment, no doubt. He's still our senior youth pastor, but he is now also training for ordination himself. And so in terms of his employed time, he has now gone part-time so that he can make space for his ordination training. And then Michael Foray has started on an apprenticeship scheme. He's continuing as a youth worker based here, but he's now on an official youth work apprenticeship. And Emma Cafera, who we've just heard from, has joined us as a trainee youth pastor. And it's been really exciting to have Emma, and she's brought a fresh dynamic into the youth work. Wasn't it great to hear from Emma? You should know that what's been happening in the youth at St. Barnabas is remarkable. The youth work has tripled in size in the last 2 years. And I've projected that forward 100 years, and all the youth in the world will be here. it's an incredible thing. The youth work at St. Barnabas is now the second largest youth work in the Diocese of London. So it's a phenomenal thing. And the diocese is beginning to seek us out in terms of asking for our help to see that sort of dynamic rolled out elsewhere. Then joyfully, Trevelyn Yates returned from maternity leave. I don't know whether it was joyful for her, but it was for us. And it's been a thrill to have her back in the office. Sarah Restall, she finished one job, took a very short break, and then started another job. So she finished as Go and Grow manager, and she's now an operations consultant still absolutely invaluable having her in the church office. Then on the non-employed staff, we have numbers of very key appointments of people who aren't paid staff, but then nevertheless fulfilling very highly responsible roles in the church. And a sample of these, Donna Beamish is the founding leader of the Connect team. And Donna, many of you will know Donna because she is a force to be reckoned with. And she has gathered around her an amazing team, ably assisted by her assistant, Joe Watson. Dave Farnworth has taken over coordination of the parking team. And the parking team is absolutely instrumental for us being able to run our public services because we are obliged to make sure that we have traffic marshals out there. And so quite literally, without the parking team, we could not be here. So we're hugely grateful to them doing that faithful, servant-hearted work. Now, moving on to some of our world mission partners. Malcolm Sheshton and Amy Gray have returned after 15 years in Thailand, and they're now based in Coventry. And Malcolm has been elected as the next leader of WEC UK. So he is leader designate. He will start that role in the autumn. It's an incredibly significant, influential role, one of the key role in world missions. And they remain mission partners of St. Barnabas. So it's really wonderful that a couple who are part of us have that position of great influence. Then Linda Perkins, having served 20 years faithfully in China, has returned to the UK, is now based in Wales, and was actually with us this morning. So it was an incredible joy to see her. And she is now stepping back from being a mission partner, and we're hugely grateful for the way she has faithfully served the Lord over such a long time. And then Mark and Rahel Landrum, they've been associate mission partners with St. Barnabas. Last month, we elected them as full mission partners. They're serving with Jews for Jesus in Sydney, Australia, doing a remarkable work there. And more we're feeling very connected with them. Other highlights for the year. Now, I've already done the youth. There are the youth. That was a highlight. But it seriously is a highlight. And we're grateful for all that Peter, Emma, and Michael and their team are doing there. I think prayer has been a highlight for our last year. I don't know whether you agree with me, but we had a 24/7 prayer week a few weeks ago. That was great, wasn't it? It was great. You know, I went into that prayer room at 11 o'clock one night and I thought, oh, glory, it's going to be so wonderful, just to be on my own before the Lord, just spending time before I go home to bed. And Chris Alexander and about six others were there. And Chris, as I came in, he said, oh, Henry, I've got some friends with me here. Would you prophesy over them? So I spent most of the hour doing that. And the place was like Piccadilly Circus. I couldn't believe it. So it was marvellous, absolutely marvellous. But then apart from 24/7 prayer, I think the prayer ministry on a Sunday has been amazing, hasn't it? Feels like a real spring in their feet, the ministry team that are praying for the sick after the services. The Healing on the Streets team has grown during the year. There have been prayer groups sprouting up. I've heard of even men
praying at 6:45 in the morning. I mean, really crazy stuff going on. The Banner Worship Group is a different kind of prayer, praying through dance. It seems to be quite a lot bubbling up in the area of prayer, and it's a thrilling thing to see. Then community outreach. Community outreach has been a bit of a phenomena this last 6 months. The conversation classes that we've been running. So there are conversation classes on a Sunday, on a Tuesday, and there's a weekday evening as well. Some of them were quite significant numbers of people, and many people who are completely unreached, Muslims and the like. And some of those are being fed through into Alpha as well. The Wednesday Club is another community outreach project for our seniors, for our elderly people. I was 60 last month. I believe that makes me eligible as a senior to come along to the Wednesday Club. So I've got my Zimmer frame on order, and maybe I'll be turning up there. So Wednesday Club has doubled in size since we moved to the High Road. That is an incredible, and I've projected that forward to the next 100 years, and we will then have all the elderly people in the world here. Community Lunch is a thriving ministry, and we're so thrilled to be able to host that, and the homeless shelter has just started as well. So the picture we have here of the, particularly amongst the community outreach projects and the youth work and the like, is of very rapid growth. Very rapid growth. And so I just want to make that point, because that hasn't yet translated through to Sunday attendance at our services. But something is really happening since we moved up to the High Road, and we're praying that that will be ongoing. Another highlight, I think, and I think this is really interesting, is what the Lord is doing through us in church planting. Take a look at this graphic. So here we have the church planting exploits. First of all, it's St. Barnabas. Of course, we have moved in the last year. So we're having to reinvent ourselves. It feels just like a little bit like an enormous church plant. Then Oakley Community Church up the north is one of our established church plants, but they've just moved as well, and then reinvention is going on there. And then, of course, we have Church at Five down on Strawberry Vale, our other established church plant. But then over in Mill Hill, we have Ryan Van Dunn, who started a church called The Mill, and at the moment they're just meeting in his home and doing a few community events, but it's started. And then on The Grange, we have Jamie Fletcher, who is spearheading Eden East Finchley. And perhaps they're just one step behind where Ryan is, but they're just wanting to start infiltrating onto the Grange estate with a view to planting a church there. And then next year, we will, in 2020, be sending out Chris Alexander to plant a church into Europe. And Chris, of course, made reference to that in his trip to Belgium, that it's not just a mission trip. If anything can be just a mission trip, it is also a reconnoiter for Chris to see if there is an opening there in Belgium. And then beyond that, into 2021, we have now been designated as a resource church by the Church of England. And that basically means that we are a church planting church. And from this July, we will have a new curate joining us with the specific brief to be trained up as a church planter. And that curate will be starting with us this summer and will probably be planting out in 2021. So if you look at that, apart from some bees, Oakley and Church at Five, we planted the year before last, we planted last year, we're planting next year, we're planting in 2021. I don't know what we'll be doing in 2022, maybe having a rest. But it's an incredible thing that this there seems to be an acceleration of our church planting exploits happening right now. What has the coming year got for us at St. Barnabas? Well, I've already mentioned youth and prayer and community outreach and planting. We're wanting to see those continue to thrive along with the kids' work and other ministries that are happening. But I just want to mention a couple of things that are significant for us right now. And the first is... We moved, what was it, 5-6 months ago, and we have just been learning to live in this building. And it's still really early days, and we've got some things right, and we've got some things wrong, and we're just trying to work out what works and what doesn't work. But over the next season, I really want to see us leverage the high-profile town center location that we have, leverage that for mission. And I think it's already starting with the exponential growth we're seeing in things like the Wednesday Club and the youth drop-in. And I can see many more of those things growing in the coming season. And the second thing is that... And it's all part of a piece, actually. We're going to be doing mission action planning. That is, what we're going to be setting a course for the church for the next, say, 5 years. And we've got a working group working on that, and they are going to be then working with our PCC over the summer, and we will be giving a presentation to the church this autumn of where we feel the Lord is calling us to, the direction that he has set for us for the next few years moving on. All this comes with challenges. We have stepped out beyond our ability, humanly, our ability to deliver things in our own strength. And actually, it's really important that we've stepped out beyond, because if we only stepped to the limit of our abilities, well, it would just be us working hard, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be the Lord. But we have stepped out, and it feels like, you know, we're walking on the water. We're out there in faith. But it does mean that we're very, very stretched. We're very, very stretched on finances. We're still running a very significant deficit. And I do need to say that, you know, if you want to be part of this adventure, and it is an incredibly exciting time to be part of this church, you can get involved. You can get involved in all sorts of things, but specifically, you can get involved in giving, in helping finance all that we believe the Lord is doing through us. So we lack finances, we also lack people. We're looking for more volunteers, we're looking for more involvement, people who will step up, who will count the cost, people who will go down to part-time working in order to volunteer in the church, people who will give up their evenings and weekends in order to see the kingdom come through what we're doing together. So as I say, I think it's an incredibly exciting time to be part of the church, if slightly scary, because we're out there in faith and we believe the Lord is going to do great things. And that ends my annual report. Thank you very much.